If you have your Bible, I'm going to be in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11. And I want you to pray. I'd rather sit down tonight than to get up here and do something that's wrong. I don't have to preach. I'd rather God to meet with us than anything. And it's an awesome task to get up here and preach. I don't come to these things lightly. I come prepared, and I seek the Lord, and I'll start getting nervous about 3 weeks before it starts, just in case I'm called on to preach. And I like to get something from God, and I like for God to give me something that'll preach.
Yes.
Now, you know, there's a lot in there that I can't preach because I don't know that much about it. But I like to preach something that I know, and I've tried, and I've tested, and I've seen that God is able. And I hope tonight that somehow or another the Lord will take what I'm going to be preaching, because I've seen what I've been going to preach tonight. I'm not going to get up here and tell you something that I don't know about, because I wouldn't have experience on that. I want to preach something that I've experienced.
Amen.
And I believe everybody here tonight when we leave, if you'll listen very closely, then this text, you can identify with it. The book of Hebrews chapter number 11, and we'll start reading with verse number 8. We'll read down through verse number 15. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. I want you to get a hold of that little phrase there. Heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I'm falling in love with that word again, all over again, aren't you? Amen. Faithful. He was faithful that promised. Verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them.
Yes.
Now he's talking about the promises there. All right? That's what he's talking about. He said they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. I want to preach basically upon verse number 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. I want to preach for a little while upon I've seen enough to keep going. I've seen enough to keep going. They all saw what they wanted. They visualized by faith what was out there ahead of them. They didn't get everything that they needed and wanted at the time that they thought they needed it, but they embraced them and they laid hold upon them.
Yes.
They said, I'm going to claim the promises of God. And boy, I want to tell him that every one of them saw enough to keep them going. Hallelujah. I've seen enough to keep me going, haven't you? Reason I'm here tonight is I've seen enough down through the years to keep me going. Oh, I've seen enough that would make me quit, but there was enough to keep me going. I saw more to keep me going than I saw to make me quit. I like that thought, don't you? It said they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Father, would you bless the word of God now for a few moments as we try, Lord, to yield ourselves to you. Lord, I pray right now that you'd set me down. Oh, dear God, give me the mind of Christ tonight. Lord, help us now to be so yielded to you that we'd be like a piece of clay, totally and fully yielded to the hand of the potter. Lord, somebody here tonight may think there's not enough to keep on going for God. I hope, oh God, tonight before I get through, that every child of God in this building would understand that God's already showed them enough to keep them going on for God. Oh, dear God, tonight help us to look at things through the eyes of spiritual faith instead of through the eyes of carnal flesh. Lord, bless now the reading of thy word. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I got to reading this book, and I know everybody's read about Hebrews chapter number 11, and you've heard everybody preach through the hall of fame of faith and stuff like that. I'm not going to deal with that tonight. Y'all know more about that than I would, but I want to say something. When I look at the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, that oftentimes if we don't watch ourselves, we'll think that these men had something that we didn't have. I get to looking at their lives, and every one of them, it seems like that their faith was tested in an area that had to make them trust God for the very next step that they were going to take. I look sometimes in this passage and I see things that you'd have to have faith in order to even conceive of what God was even talking about. I think, for instance, here's a man by the name of Abel. The Bible said up there in verse number 6, he offered a blood sacrifice unto God. I want to tell you, he was the first fellow that ever did that, that's revealed in the Word of God. And if he hadn't had God's word upon that, he'd have been a fool for going out yonder and taking a little lamb and slitting its neck and pouring the blood out in some basin or something. He'd been a stark raving fool for doing that. But I believe, brother, he was motivated by faith in the Son of God. Even though he gave his life, I believe God let him see something, that he was able to go out yonder in the field and get him a little lamb and offer that as a sacrifice unto God. I look down there in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5, and I see a man that was translating that he should not see death by the name of Enoch. And I say, boy, oh Enoch, buddy, he had more faith than we've got, and his times were not as bad as ours. But I want to tell you something. The book of Jude said that he was walking among ungodly men, and he was seeing their ungodly deeds, and he was hearing their ungodly hard sayings that they were saying against the Holy God. But oh, he saw something that made him keep on walking with God. I look down there, I look at old Noah there. He had never seen a raindrop in his life, and God told him to build an ark. If I can read the Bible right, he was made the laughing stock of his day and time. And I believe they scoffed at him. I believe they scorned him. I believe they ridiculed him. But he saw something that made him keep on a building. He realized that there was something out there ahead of him that's going to be worth all of his effort. I look down here at old Abraham. I had everything that a man could desire. But one day God came down to him and said, Abraham, I want you to get up from where you are, and I want you to go out yonder to a place that I'll show you. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't have a road map listed. But God, but I want to tell you, the Bible said that Abraham arose and he went out yonder not knowing whether he went because God told him to. He saw something by faith that made him get up and travel on for God. Now, I got to thinking of that. You know what they were? They were just old common men with like passions as we are tonight. But they had something that motivated them for God and made them keep on going for God. You know what it was? It's a little word called promise. Amen. Boy, I can do a whole lot on a promise, can't you? Especially if it's God that's doing the promising. I tell you what, if God makes us a promise, you can take it to the bank with him. You can depend upon him. I tell you, you can rely upon it tonight. I want to tell you, whatever God has promised us, he said in Romans chapter number 4, he said, faithful is he who promised, who also will perform it. They saw something, didn't they? And it made them keep on going on for God. Now, I doubt if there's a person here tonight that hasn't wanted to quit. Hey, man, Brother Bevel, if you hadn't wanted to yet, you will. He's just getting started here. Amen, Brother Woosley. Been many a time you wanted to quit, wasn't it? I'll tell you, there's been many a time, I'll guarantee you, I know what it is to go out yonder and start churches. You know what that is. I want to tell you, when you're out yonder and you're knocking on doors and you're inviting people to the house of God and nobody's a-coming, and somebody asks you what you're doing, and you say, well, I'm starting a little church over yonder. Well, how many you got? Well, we don't got nobody yet.
There you go.
Amen. And then you get around them and they start bragging about how many they've got. And they're telling you that if you don't baptize 200 or 300 a year, that you're not in the will of God. Or 1,000. You're not running 500 in a year's time, that you're out of the will of God. Now, that don't raise your hands. How many of you are running 500 now and catching them? I'm running more than I'm catching. You know what I'm talking about? I doubt if there's a 500 member church in this audience tonight. I know we kind of people, you know. Amen. And sometimes if you don't watch, I will tell you, the old devil will tell you, you're not doing God's will. You're not in God's will. I tell you, we live in a place where there's 130 Baptist churches. 48,000 people in the entire county, and we got 130 Baptist churches. We all ain't running 500. That's not counting the other folks. You know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, if we get listened to the world and we get to listen to religious braggers, I know a fella. Now listen, I had a missionary with me here last week, and he told me he was in a church that averaged 2,500 people in Sunday school. And he said, Brother Broughton, I don't understand your church. He said, I'm just in a church that had 2,500 in attendance. And he said they had 100 there on Wednesday night. And he wanted to ask me what kind of special we had going on. I said, preaching, praying, shouting, and singing. That's our specialty. Amen. I'm not much of a ball player. Hey man, I'm not an orator. Now you hear that, and before you know it, you'll be feeling down. When you hear ungodly people talking, if you don't watch it, you'll get down. When you hear religion talking, boy, this religion's got money running out of their ears, aren't they? And we don't even have enough to put money in the vans, gas in the vans, hardly. And we hear them talk about how good God is to them, and yet we know that they're not preaching the truth. And if you don't watch yourself, you'll say, well, I'll compromise here a little bit. I'll let down here just a little bit. But I want to tell you something. Every person in here tonight has seen enough to keep you going on for God. There's no quitting for God. There's no let down for God. I want to tell you something. When I look at these men, they had one thing going for them. They had the promises of God. I like that. And they saw enough promises fulfilled to keep on going. Sister Duke, I got all confidence your dad's going to get saved. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe God has let her see something there, don't you? I believe God's let her eyes see something. That's enough to keep you going on for God. Just a little handful on purpose that God has dropped by the wayside. Now look down through here. Here's old Abraham going out yonder nowhere. And yet he sees something. In fact, I got to looking down through verse number 1. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know the book, I hear people say, well, you can't see faith. I believe you can.
Yeah.
I believe you can see it by what it accomplishes.
Hello.
Hey, man. The Bible said Paul came to Antioch, and when he had seen the grace of God. Did y'all get that? It said when he had seen the grace of God. What did he see to make him think that there'd been some grace around there? I believe he saw some old sinners in church. I believe he saw some people serving God. I believe he saw some people out on the streets of witnessing. And he said, boy, I used to know that fella. God must have got a hold of him. I believe that old fella has come in contact with the grace of God. And when he saw that, God will give you enough to keep on. Hey man, if he doesn't, we're all hurting. We'd all quit yesterday, wouldn't we? Reason I'm still preaching today, I believe there's something out there ahead of me for the next time I preach. Yes, sir. I look here at these men. I look at verse number 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I look down at verse number 5. It said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. I look down at verse number 10. It says, for Abraham, speaking of Abraham, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You say, did he ever found it? He sure did. In fact, he discovered it right after he died. He located it. When his spirit departed from him, he said, boy, look here. I found what I was looking for. I believe Abraham is in the presence of God tonight. Saw what he's looking for. Now these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Everything in their lifetime didn't come to pass. For instance, Abraham, I believe, had the gospel preached to him. Bible said that he received his son back in figure. And I believe that he had the gospel preached to him. I believe, in fact, the Bible said that Abraham saw my day. Jesus said this, and he rejoiced. Yeah. And you know what? You know what, Brother Jones? You know what I believe happened when he saw Jesus' day? He went up there and he embraced it. That's what it said he did. He embraced it. He grabbed hold of it. Isn't that what it said he did? I said he embraced it. And he confessed. He said, oh, I believe what God said. Look down at verse 13. He said, I believe what God said. I'm persuaded that the promise of God is the truth. Yes. And he embraced it. Put his arms around it. Yes. Hugged it up real tight to him. And sometimes, friend, when you can't hug your wife up real tight, best next thing is a promise of God. All right? There might be a time when she's not wanting you to embrace her. Amen. But you don't always embrace the promise of God. I've seen enough to keep me going. I don't know about you. I saw enough day to keep me going. Oh, Brother Bob, never will forget that sermon you preached last year. Oh, my, you don't know what that did for me. I ain't been the same since I heard that. I mean, he hadn't preached 2 minutes, so my heart was already broken. And I thank God for that. I identified with what he was saying. Amen. Old Brother Bob got up here last year and poured his heart out to us. All those things that he went through, his wife and his sons and his little the little baby and all of that. That touched my heart. I identified with that. I could associate with that. And you know what? You know what God did with that? He used that to break my heart. And he let me see a little something that night to keep me going a little bit longer. I saw enough. I saw enough to keep me go. Now the world says see and believe. The Christian says believe and see. If you believe God, you'll see enough to keep you going. Now if you don't believe God, you won't ever see enough to satisfy. That's the reason the world is money hungry. I'm not up politicking tonight. That's the reason a bunch of Americans go out yonder and vote for abortionists. Because money means more to them than life. Amen. Money means more to them than life. Somebody said, what's the greatest issue of this election? It's not economy, it's life. Wouldn't you hate to be a Baptist preacher? I don't mind saying this. I'm not politicking, and I'm not coming out supporting for somebody. Wouldn't you hate to be a Baptist preacher that gets up and tells people to come to Jesus for new life, and then goes out in a booth and votes somebody that don't even want new life to be born? That's a hypocrite in the pulpit. How could anybody get up here and invite sinners to come to this new life in Christ and doesn't even want a little baby to come into this world alive? That's a two-faced hypocrite. I don't mind preaching that here because I preach that on the radio station. And they're supported by the FCC. We ought to quit being afraid to take a stand. You see, we've seen enough. We've seen enough. You don't have to worry about what this stinking world thinks. We've seen enough of that other side to keep us going for God. I look here. The natural man only sees what natural eyes can see. 2 Corinthians says that he's spiritually discerned. It's the reason you can't get somebody to be saved because they don't see it. And they're looking for feeling or goosebumps. And they're looking for some outward sign rather than some inward belief in God. You see, they want to see. How many times, I won't even get in that part of my message, but how many times they came to Jesus, John chapter number 2, said, show us who gave you the authority to do these things. John chapter number 6 said, show us a sign that we may see and believe. They're a bunch of liars. God walked on water. The Son of God walked on water, raised people from the dead, raised the sick, gave sight to the blind, fed 5,000, and did things that nobody else ever did, and they still didn't believe him. This miracle working crowd don't believe the Bible. A miracle working crowd has to see. I said the greatest faith healer of our time just had an open heart surgery up here last week. And I say to myself, see, I'm talking to myself now so y'all can't get mad at me. I'm talking to myself. I say, self, I wonder why that fella didn't heal himself. Hey, amen. You see, when he got sick, he went to the doctor just like anybody else goes. He'd been lying for years. Saying in that right hand's a miracle working power of God to lay his hand upon somebody and heal him. And then he goes down to the hospital, have his heart operated on. Say, show us miracles and we'll believe. No, if you won't take God's promise, you won't believe nothing. In order to get saved, you have to take God his promise. Amen. That's all you got to do, just take God his promise. Thomas said, except I see. Jesus said, Thomas, you rascal. That's Kentucky language. All right. Said, Thomas, blessed are those that haven't seen and still believe. I believe that's a rebuke, don't you? Whatever you want to call that, I believe that's a rebuke. 1 Peter 1, verse 8 said, whom we have not seen, we love, and though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. You see, the Lord is gracious enough to let us see enough to keep us going. Number one, I've seen enough of his salvation to keep going. Amen. Amen. I've seen enough of his salvation. I was there the night he came by me. Nobody else ever has to believe it. I don't care whether you believe it or not. I could care less whether you think I'm saved or not. You see? I don't care if you vote and say I'm not saved. I don't care. I was there. Yes, sir. That old song we sing at church sometimes, I was there when it happened. Amen. If you were there when it happened, you don't need anybody else to tell you about it. I've seen enough of it. To keep me going on. If it's not real, if my salvation's not real enough to you, it's real enough to me. It just makes me, listen, I got saved in 1957, and it's lasted all these years, brother, and I believe I've seen enough of it that it'll get me through. Through the next 25 years, if the Lord Jesus doesn't come, I've seen enough to keep me going on for God. You remember how God told Moses in the 14th chapter and 13th verse, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And you know what our trouble is? We're trying so busy helping God out that we never see him doing nothing. You know, in our Baptist churches, we're good at helping God out. You know what? Well, I'll help God out a little bit on this. Oh, God's not only got enough salvation to save you out of the depths of sin, he's got enough to keep you out of sin. He's got enough salvation. Listen, he's got enough salvation for your past sins. He's got enough salvation for your present sins. And whatever your prospective sins are. I've seen enough in the past to make me believe on him today. And just what he's done for me today, I've seen enough.
Thank God.
That I got courage. I had an old fella in my church, Brother James Mills' grandpa, and Overall's grandpa. And his wife of 55 years was laying up there, and she was sick, and she was a little fretful and going through a lot of pain, and she'd want me to come up there and pray for her. And I'd go up there, and I'd say, Sister Miller, I said, how old are you? And she said, I'm 77 years age. I said, how long you been saved? She said, I've been saved 65 years. I said, in 65 years has the Lord ever failed you? Tears would start streaming down her face. And she said, no, preacher. And I said, now, do you believe he's going to fail you today?
Amen.
I said, no, preacher. Do you believe then he'll fail you tomorrow? Oh, no, preacher. And before long, we'd be a-praying and shouting and singing.
Yeah.
You know, she found that she'd seen enough in 65 years to keep her going today. And if she had enough for today, chances are she's going to have enough for tomorrow. And that's, isn't that reasonable?
Yeah.
They saw the promises and put their arms around them and embraced them and were persuaded. And listen, let me hurry. I've seen enough souls saved to keep on witnessing.
Yes.
I ain't seen all I want to see saved.
No.
Hey, let me ask you something. What if you never saw anybody saved? Boy, wouldn't that be horrible? Wouldn't it be bad to preach for years and years and years and get up here and give invitation after invitation? Listen, if I hadn't seen anything but my three daughters get saved, that'd been enough to keep me going. Listen, I got a little old grandson. I don't know if Jesus would be, might be on his way, but I believe from what I've seen in the past, I believe of what I've seen God do for others, I believe from what I've seen him do for me. I believe from what I've seen him do for my daughters. I believe from what I've seen in my mom and dad and my brothers and sisters. I've seen enough to believe that he's going to save little David. You know what I'm talking about? I just got confidence he's going to save him. Yes, hallelujah. You ever seen any of your children saved?
Yeah.
Isn't that Brother Benny, isn't that a blessing? Oh, Brother Bob, isn't that something? Brother, to see one of your children saved. I don't know of anything that blesses your heart any more than seeing your own children saved. I saw my little youngest daughter get off the piano stool down at our camp one year after being a church member for several years. Been under conviction for 8 years probably. Made a profession of faith. And I saw her weeping and crying. And I knew when she got out of her seat, that wasn't no just little confession experience she was coming for. I knew it was a deep work of God in her heart.
Amen.
And she got down there and got saved.
Amen.
And she said to me, Dad, said, I wanted to get saved for a long time, but I thought it might embarrass your ministry. I said, what had been embarrassment if I'd preached all these years you'd died and gone to hell?
Yes.
Isn't it stinking pride?
Yeah.
That's stinking pride.
Yeah.
You know, some people, they'd be embarrassed. I had a woman get saved one time that her husband tried to talk her out of it because it embarrassed him. I don't tell you, religion, I wouldn't die and go to hell for anybody. I don't care if it's your own husband or wife. I won't tell you something. I'm glad that Jesus saves souls, and I've seen enough of them saved. Not as many as I want, but I've seen enough saved to make me want to go out and witness somebody else. Haven't you? I've seen enough in his scriptures to make me keep digging.
Yeah.
Oh. Boy, isn't it good when God gives you something out of the scripture. Oh, my goodness. I was a preaching last Sunday, and you know, I had that message already laid out what I was going to preach. I knew all week what I was going to preach. I already had the thing out and lined and, you know, dated and copyrighted and all that stuff that preachers think those sermons are worth. You know, we always think they're better than anybody else does. You ever notice that? Boy, I had that thing out of my eyes and sanitized and everything. I had it down and got over there Saturday night prayer meeting and got down there praying. I don't know who started praying, but they ruined my sermon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? They ruined my sermon. And while they were praying, God moved in right there beside of me. And I don't know whether you're like this, but I was down there on my knees of praying before God. I was down at the altar and somebody was over there praying. And I sneaked my Bible up while he's a praying. You know, like we preachers peep during the invitation, see whether anybody is coming forward or not. And I picked my Bible up and I tried to turn those leaves so silently. But you know what? While he was a praying, God started putting some scriptures on my heart that I'd read many a time, and they never blessed me like they did that night. Oh, you say, what are you saying, preacher? I've seen enough in the scriptures to make me keep on a day. I believe there's something in there I hadn't dug out yet. Sometimes I feel like I'm right close to the old mother lobe. You know what I'm talking about? I saw those big old veins of coal coming over here, and every now and then I get in there, brother, and I feel like, son, that I'm about ready to strike gold. You know what I'm talking about? And you know what that makes you do? It makes you sharpen up your tools and keep on a digging. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've seen enough of the Spirit's filling to keep yielding. I'll be honest with you. I'll make a confession. I don't very seldom preach in the fullness of the Spirit. I'll be honest with you. Now that may shock some of y'all, but I don't know how to do this, but be honest with you. But I've been filled enough to know what it's like. Now this will shock some of you. I've preached 3 times in my lifetime that I felt like that I was completely, totally, fully, 100% yielded. And I was caught up into another world while I was preaching. And if you've ever preached that way, you'll never be satisfied. Now, I don't know whether you understand that or not. I believe I've preached with the anointing of God. But boy, that fullness is a deep word. That fullness means that God fully is preaching through you. You ever get up here and you start out in the fullness of the Spirit and then you get in the flesh? I've done it. I've been going along good sometime, getting mad at something. Hey man, you know what I'm talking about. And then I've been going along good and God was using it and I thought I had to get every point in. And get to a place there, oh, I've been to places where it just felt like the people were in the palm of my hands. But I had to get them last 2 points in. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Now, we don't like to hear stuff like this. I don't like to hear it. But I want to tell you something, folks. I've learned this through experience. When God has got hearts in the palm of his hand, shut up.
Amen. I like that, brother.
That's time to shut up. You can't go any greater than that. But I've had enough of it. I've seen enough of it. That I believe the next time may be the best in yet. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I up here chopping my lips? Some of you other preachers know what I'm talking about. Now, some of us are too spiritual to admit that. We wanted to make. We want everybody to think that every time we get in the pulpit, we're right on target. Man, we're so yielded and so consecrated. And you know, half the time, a lot of us don't even pray over what we're going to preach. You can't preach in the fullness of spirit and not even pray about what you're going to preach. But I've had it enough. I've seen enough of it. Oh, to make me keep on a yielding. Amen. I've seen enough supplications answered to make me keep on praying. Boy, isn't it wonderful when God answers a prayer. And you know God answered it. I've seen prayers answered this week. I knew God answered them. Brother Benny, last week over there, one at Liberty, they had people stand up and testify that God had answered prayer that very day. That very day. That very day. I read somewhere in one of my books that this old woman went down to, was in a revival meeting and hadn't heard from her son for over 20 years. And she wanted the church to start praying with her and believe God that her son would get a hold of her. And so the church, everybody said they'd pray for her. And they went to the altar and prayed. And the next morning, that old woman got up and went down to the telegraph office and asked, "Have you heard, do you have a message for me?" Gave her name. "No, ma'am, we don't have one." "Are you sure you don't have one?" "We're sure." "Were you expecting one?" "Yes, I'm expecting one." And she kept going down there every day and asking the same. Now, she was believing one. She had enough faith in God that he would answer prayer. And on the fifth day, she came to that telegraph office and asked, "Do you have a message for me?" And he looked in there and pulled out a little paper. Now, we don't believe stuff like that no more. We don't believe God can do that no more. I got people right here that can testify of God answering prayer while it was in her lips. Yes, sir. We had an old woman that her son wouldn't let her come to church no more. Shouting Baptist. I mean, Sister Redmond, she'd shout at the drop of a handkerchief and drop her on. Yeah. And people got to asking me 3 weeks after. She wasn't there for 3 weeks and said, "Where's Miss Redmond?" And finally I said, "Well, I'm going to tell them." I got up one Sunday night and I said, "Now, you folks," I said, "we're going to pray for Miss Redmond and we're going to pray for her son. Her son won't let her come to church no more." And while that was on our lips, the back door opened. And Miss Redmond walked in the back door. And she laid her little, she had a little little umbrella. And she laid her umbrella and purse down the floor and reached down in her purse and got her handkerchief out and started shouting down the aisle. While it was on our lips. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe." I don't care what you believe. I was there. I've seen enough. I've seen enough prayers and supplications answered to make me keep on praying to God. I've had enough to keep me going. Amen. I've seen him. Enough of his supplies. Just keep on depending.
Hello.
Hey man, any of you ever had to start churches and work? Public jobs? See God reach down and feed you through the raven's mouth. I've seen that. I've seen times when I didn't know where the next meal's coming from. I've been there. Hey man. I've seen times when there wasn't no canned goods on the shelf and no potatoes in the bin and no money in the pocket and no gas in the car. And in the middle of the night, I remember one time in the middle of the night, I was working out during a public job. Midnight, my wife heard a knock on the door. An old truck without a muffler pulled up. And she was scared to death, wouldn't even open the door for him. And I came home at midnight and saw my porch piled full of groceries. Saw a 50-pound bag of potatoes with a little corner tore out of it and a $20 bill stuck in it. I don't know who that was, but I know who.
Yes.
To this day, I don't have a clue who did that, but I know who. And then I was so happy. I went in there and woke my wife up and woke my kids up. If I'm not mistaken, she fried some potatoes at midnight. God had supplied. I've seen enough of that to make me keep on depending. Let me give you this, I'm going to quit. I've seen enough signs of his coming to keep on listening. Amen. I've got my ear tuned. Amen. I'm a listening for him. I'm not looking for him, I'm listening. I'm a listening for the trumpet. I heard yesterday morning the report on the radio. I was up in Lexington and I heard a report that over in Egypt there was a earthquake came and buildings started crumbling and people started dying and all of a sudden I got a little shiver there. I thought once I turned over to my wife and said, honey, did you hear something? Did you hear something? You say, what is that, preacher? That's another promise that God has made.
Yes.
And I've seen God fulfill so many of prophecies. Amen. I've seen him fulfill enough prophecies that I know it's a coming. Now you ask, say, preacher, what am I supposed to do tonight with a message like this? Well, I tell you what some of us need to do. We need to repent. Some of us are trusting our salaries and our houses. And you better not get your eyes upon those things. You better get a hold of some promises. Amen. You better get a hold of some things that have a solid foundation. I've seen enough spiritual things make me keep on going. Some of you preachers here tonight, some of you discouraged. You know, I've been preaching for years and I get discouraged. Somebody asked how long you have to preach to quit getting nervous. I don't know yet. I still haven't got there yet. But some of you discouraged tonight. I heard Brother David over here talked about his dad-in-law. And I believe the essence of his talk was this, that his dad-in-law, 70 years old, been preaching for years, said one day he was talking to him, his dad-in-law was just down. And he said, in essence, he kind of said to him that he felt like his ministry had been a failure. And I believe Brother Woosley said something to him about, well, you got a son pastoring up there in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Got a son-in-law here who's preaching. And he began to mention some preachers that surrendered to preach on him, some of them on the mission field, and some over yonder in evangelism, and some up yonder pastoring churches. That's not a failure. Brother Dane, you know Brother George Ham? You knew he died a month ago. I had Brother George Ham preach for me, and 2 weeks after he preached, he died. And I remembered the day that I went by and knocked on his door. invited him to church. And he didn't get saved that night, but about 5 months later, he got saved. 2 weeks after he got him saved, I took him to youth camp. And he came back home, and I never will forget what he said. He said, "Boy," said, "I sure did enjoy that youth camp," and said, "I don't know what God wants me to do, but I sure know he don't want me to preach." And I told my wife, I said, "God must have dealt with him."
Yeah.
3 months later, or a year later or so, I forgot how long it was, but he surrendered to preach. Amen. Now that's enough to make me keep it going.
Yeah. Amen.
That's enough to make me keep going. Old George went up there in West Virginia, started preaching, and he got to preaching to a young fella up there, and that young fella got saved. About 6 months later, that young fella surrendered to preach.
Amen.
Named Brother Bill Jones up in Letcher County, Kentucky.
Amen.
He's my grandson.
Amen. Yeah.
Every time I see old Brother Bill, I look back there at Brother George, and I see enough.
Sure.
Amen. I told Brother Bill the other day, and he said, "Preacher, guess what?" I said, "I've had 5 young people surrender to preach." Great, great grandchildren.
Yeah.
Friend, I've seen enough to keep me going.
Amen.
If we get off of this old thing, God has to do everything we demand, and you just look at the handfuls he's dropped on your pathway, it'd be enough to keep you going. Amen. I want us to stand tonight. Some of you fellas here pastoring small churches, I know that hardship. Let me ask you though, how many have been pastoring them small churches? God's already showed you enough. Sometimes we look at them old problems, and they so overshadow what God's a doing.
Yes.
The rotten apple seems to overshadow the whole bushel of good ones. Why don't you just for a minute just see some of the things and ask yourself, have I seen enough to keep me going? Amen. Father, we pray tonight that the Holy Ghost of God would take these feeble words. Lord, we just tried to be yielded to you. And oh, dear God, tonight, I'm so thankful, Lord, you've dropped enough handfuls by the way to keep me going. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord, may some soul here tonight listen to the beckoning call of God. May, oh God, tonight some folks get around these old altars, and the first thing they do, just thank God for his promises. And then grab hold of those promises. Embrace those promises. Be fully persuaded of those promises. And say, "Lord, I believe I'll just keep on going." Oh, dear God, speak. Somebody here tonight not saved. Lord Jesus, tonight, would you not move right now and save them? In Jesus' name we ask it.